Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Last Thursday morning, a severe storm unleashed over 6 inches of rain in just a few hours on San Antonio, causing a sudden flash flood across the city. The most tragic impact occurred around Loop 410 and Perrin Vital on the northeast side, where a wall of water swept more than a dozen vehicles into the Vital Creek, tragically resulting in 11 of the 13 fatalities. The other two victims were found in separate flood-affected areas near Leon Creek and Highway 90 and several miles upstream. 13 individuals lost their lives, ranging from the late 20s to 60s. Many of them were just everyday commuters simply trying to get to work or appointments or back home. Also during that flooding event, the San Antonio Fire Department, along with SAPD and volunteers, including the Texas A&M Task Force 1, launched extensive rescue operations, rescuing over 70 individuals who were in extreme situations, saving numerous individuals stranded in trees or stuck in waterlogged vehicles. A vigil is planned tonight at Northwest Loop 410 location near the Perrin Vital there to honor the 13 victims. City and county officials have initiated investigations, including an independent engineering review of flood control measures around Perrin Vital Creek, and Loop 410, while seeking accountability and strategies to prevent future tragedies. We're now joined by Tommy Calvert. He is the Bexar County Commissioner for Precinct 4. And Tommy, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you for this important conversation.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. 13 people lost their lives, and that is absolutely, I mean, we can't even think about that as being acceptable, right? I mean, when we six inches of rain, yeah, that's a lot of rain, but we should have been able to handle that. So what went wrong?
Our infrastructure was overtaken, and our engineers initially told me that any storm above 5 inches within that period of time will overtake what they plan for. And there does need to be a look at whether or not the culverts and drainage were clogged because of vegetation or because of construction near the 35410 area and Perrin Vital area, which is also under construction. Those butter sticks and what the mitigation plans were by the contractors have to be looked at, and probably on a more regular basis in terms of a better coordination of what we call storm water management, watershed management, rather. These are the kinds of reforms that we're going to have policy, public works, elected leadership, emergency management work closer together to double check what I think could be some haphazard planning prior to where you have a lot of these major construction areas. So, like I said, most of the engineers say any amount of a storm that comes with over 5 inches is going to overtake. But with climate change, we have to have a conversation about being ready for these issues.
And when we say climate change, people think, well, you're talking about hotter weather, but it's also more volatile weather and wetter weather in these extreme events. So when we're in flash flood alley, then we're going to have to recognize the fact that we're going to have a lot of this and do several things. I guess one of them is has better early warning systems and being able to redirect individuals from these dangerous areas, and also prepare for, and that's going to cost billions of dollars in order to try to, do better drainage, I guess.
Yeah, it's gonna be cultural changes. So for example, that morning I had meetings. At 5 o'clock I told my staff cancel the meetings. The roads where we're supposed to go are not passable. I mean, employers are going to have to tell their employees, if you're not essential for any reason, you're going to have to stay and really be careful when they give you those kinds of numbers. I think that's something that is a cultural thing that we're not really used to, but not everybody can do that, but it would certainly help.
Well, let me just say right quick, because we're seeing right now from the federal government, they're gutting the National Weather Service. And so we're looking for early warning about extreme weather events. And it was a flood last week. could be a hurricane next week or other events that we're going to be having. And we're going to have less information about these things until they're on top of us?
I consider these things an attack on our people, an attack on the country. And it's especially over the summer time where FEMA really is known to respond to hurricanes and other natural disasters.
FEMA is the other agency that is being pulled apart and mothballed by the federal government.
And, and you're making a point that's actually getting me thinking as we're talking. Look, part of the county's duties is homeland security and emergencies. We have a center at Brooks where we all collaborate across functions of different entities, and we're going to have to take up as much slack as we can while we have these attacks to the federal infrastructure. It remains to be seen whether or not it's having an impact on this last storm. I mean, we were getting notifications, but we can't move in that direction as climate change is right upon us.
So we don't know yet. That's why investigations are going to be held by an independent review looking at if there was something seriously wrong, blocking the infrastructure, or making the infrastructure not work to the way it was designed, if things were put in the drainage culverts that should have allowed the water to dissipate, but instead it backed up. These are things that need to be discovered?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, there has to be an investigation. The San Antonio River Authority is going to take some lead on that. But certainly you can look at Vicar and Perrin Bidel, and you can see the concrete that was scraped from the water, something I've never seen our infrastructure. It was a tsunami effect of that area, which is right by the Bexar County Small Business Department. We actually have camera footage I've been reviewing. But the concrete barrier was, and the walls of the drainage were scraped off like icing on a cake. And they're clogging both the road and other drainage easements. And people talked about, the wave. I've gotten a tip that there was one of the railroads had gotten a road that had previously been traversed by passengers, and they began to put boulders so that passengers and people traveling wouldn't pass this new area that they had gotten control of. And it does need to be investigated. I passed that information along to the River Authority, whether or not those boulders were part of that wave whether they moved and, all of these things. There's a lot of looks. There's also some conversation about whether or not calls for vegetation to be cleared. There was an excavator, in those days working to get trees, drainage, things out that has to be looked at. I've always said at the county that one of the things we could do, because we get a lot of calls from residents saying, hey, the drainage is, got vegetation overgrowing and it's not flowing right. Happens near my neighborhood in the city as well. I've thought about having a lawnmower crew just rapidly responding to those calls, because days, hours matter, and the city and the county, we could hire folks who are formerly incarcerated, get them on a lawnmower, and make sure that they're rapidly deploying to take care of this infrastructure, or anybody for that matter. But these kinds of things are all important not to take lightly, and it's a real wake-up call. It's a priority check.
Also, we do have people who are unhoused, sometimes putting camps in these drainage areas. One of the fatalities was a person who was unhoused. And so when you have people who have shopping carts and tents and things, all sorts of stuff that are in these drainage ditches, when the rain comes, these people are in danger, but also the debris that they have put there, that also clogs the drainage pipes and can back up the water and cause more damage. So that's also a reason why we can't have these impromptu shanty towns popping up in these drainage ditches.
The state has increased the ability to do things under state law around these infrastructure areas that are controlled by the state. And in light of the drainage needs to flow properly, we do have to take a more serious look about these things. I know on Goliad Road on the southeast side near Southeast Military, there's frequently folks who are unhoused who are living in there in this area. Under the Perrenbital Bridge, there were folks, and around the construction, there were folks who were unhoused who were there all along this area. So look, it calls for permanent supportive housing or other transitional housing to help people make sure that they're not in these circumstances. And by the way, with all the cuts at the state, we could certainly use some help from a state of Texas that cut mental health funding to help us, whether it's at the state hospital, take advantage of 100 acres of open land on the state hospital complex that could be utilized. There were bills that the county tried to get for more beds in that area that were not passed in this last legislature, but we're standing on a surplus that's almost as big as every state in the United States combined. And we have emergency after emergency, and we're not getting a lot of help from our partners.
All right, we're taking a break here. Our phone lines are open. What are your thoughts about the flood that we had on Thursday? Are you alarmed? You know, we're going to have rain events like this. People say this is a 100-year flood. Okay, let's get real. We're going to have these like annually, at least a 6-inch rainfall, more sometimes. And we've got to do something to prepare for this. We can see the pictures of the stacked up of the debris, of the concrete, the rebar, all right there causing these floods. How should we address this? And who do you think is liable on what happened? And I just cannot believe that so many people lost their lives. It is just incredible. The number to call in is 833-877-8255. 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues right after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
I'm W.F. Strong. I'm host of Stories from Texas and commentator for the Texas Standard. One of the great minds in our history was Daniel Webster, and he used to say, if you want to be wise, there are several ways to get wisdom. He said there are really three ways you can do it. You can travel a lot, and that can give you wisdom. And you can read a lot of books, and that can give you wisdom. Or you can converse with people of learning and knowledge and expertise. And so public radio gives you that latter thing where you are in a kind of conversation with the brightest minds of many, many different fields. And that's what I think is so valuable. And if it were to go away, that would be an incredible tragedy. You can support and defend public radio by donating to TPR.org. Thank you.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Tommy Calvert, Bexar County Commissioner for Precinct 4. We're talking about the catastrophic flooding that we had last week. It took 13 lives. Over 6 inches of rain fell that morning, Thursday morning. That's a lot of rain, but is it so much that it really had to take that many people's lives? What needs to be done during these flood events to prevent this from happening again? We want to hear from the community. What do you think went wrong? What do we need to do differently? We don't want this to happen again. Give us a call, 833-877-8255. And we have Steve on the line. And Steve, let me get you on the air. And Steve, go ahead.
Hi, I was just going to make a follow-on comment to the view about the stuff that's collecting in the drainage area. I walk and run in Opechancanough Park, which is along Leon Creek, and over the past many months, from the weather just drying out from our lack of rain, so many of the trees have died and so much of the underbrush has died, and they've just kind of fallen over and left laying there. And then, of course, with the rains, all those trees that just were dying or were dead got uprooted, and they all flowed down and collected on all of the drainage ways. Sure. And caused flooding in the park. And I'm sure it caused lots of flooding downstream as well. And my comment is, I think there should be some effort, and this is city parks, to try to keep that dead stuff out of there. And I don't know, perhaps you could use volunteers to do that, but some way to collect it up and get it out of there.
All right, Steve, thank you for that. Tommy Calvert, being more proactive on those issues?
Yeah, this is, again, a priority check. And we have to rapidly deploy. First of all, we know that we were primed for overgrowth vegetation because we had the rains on a consistent basis. And so you know those areas of drainage are going to be growing because it's been a little wetter over the month of June and May. And he's absolutely, Steve is absolutely right that we need to go in with a task force. And yes, volunteers can be. There's groups like After Disasters, I think the Baptist men and Methodist men, they cut down trees. They help people get back on their feet. Sometimes these kinds of emergencies take more than just the assets that government has. It's very expensive. And let me give you a for example. In the area that flooded in 98, the Wheatley area, there were many homes that were taken out, and it costs annually something like $300,000 to $400,000 in tree mitigation for those that fall and block and have issues. And you know, you're absolutely right to give us that intel, Steve, that it's not only we've just had a major flood event, so there are things that fell that need to be removed, that need to be picked up. I think some of that's going on, but I would venture to guess not enough of it is going on. And I think that also goes towards the way in the future we actually stage first responders. I think in some of these events, staging them closer to where
what we... What about like gates and things that need to be put in place to close these areas? And we all know about turn around, don't drown. These people didn't have a chance to turn around. They got hit with more water than... You can imagine.
Yeah. The halt arms, the high alert arms are helpful, but I will tell you, in that tsunami, they would have been washed away. And actually, the metal from the barricades at Vicar, the picture you just showed me, the metal was moved. It was ripped. The concrete was ripped. So, yes, it would stop many events and many people from coming in, but an event like this, those will probably be washed as well.
All right, let's go to Tony on the phones. And Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have to say this, and nobody's putting, Mr. Calvert, your feet to the fire here. You were reelected in this district. It happened before in this district. What I am hearing is that y'all were aware of a lot of stuff that went on. A lot of things, a lot of the cement that was coming off. Like, you're telling me when this was not seen before? What have you done? What did you previously do? And what are you doing now since reelected to not make this happen again? I'm hearing a lot of other stuff, construction, other things. But you seem to be passing the buck.
Well, he is here. Let me tell you, Tony, he is here.
He is here. He is here, but I haven't heard him say one thing about, like, I am sorry, I could have done better on this, I saw this, this wasn't, are there any bills that you put in place that you're trying to that were denied? What are you doing? I want to know what you're doing, not okay. What you're seeing could have been done. What?
No, Tony,
all right, Tony, thank you for the call. Yeah, we appreciate
absolutely.
It, and we appreciate your passion, and I understand why. You feel the way you feel. This is a terrible, terrible event, and people lost loved ones. But yeah, Tommy.
Yeah, I take no offense to that emotion, and I understand exactly what Tony is saying. Let me just say a couple things. Having grown up in the area, that particular low point at Vicar used to have a stop and go and homes. The county between 2007 and 2017, and I was a commissioner in 2015, was part of the group that helped remove those businesses, remove those homes, and finish a project to widen the channel. 2017, 2020. We partnered with the city. The city has primacy, so I'm a county official. The city has primacy over those particular developments, but we are here to partner to help provide additional resources. And so that's why I was back on the ground to look at those things. And we need to do a review of whether the analysis of the storms was under value, or whether there were decisions to have option A, B, or C, and we chose a more conservative one. And I say we, not because the county has primary jurisdiction in that area. We've been a partner to help the city with resources. But we need to look at the city and it's not a buck passing here. I'm happy to partner with resources. I've been providing video because we have a county facility right next to this particular area. So I completely understand the feeling and will stand accountable.
All right, let's go to Bob on the phones. And Bob, you're on the air.
Third thing, but first thing is just, you know, really sad. And, you know, these are really working families. You know, they were either getting off the shift or coming, you know, or going to work, you know, and early in the morning, you know, and I understand, you know, it was dark and it was heavy rain. And just condolences out to the families and, you know, everybody that was involved in that. That was the new thing. You know, I was just thinking about them. It's just such sad. Mm-hmm. Part two of three was that I know there's different entities, you know, some is county, some is city, but how much is TxDOT involved in this? Because isn't part of Austin Highway there is a state highway? And then the other part was that isn't the access roads to 410 there, doesn't the TxDOT control that? So I'm just kind of, again, I'm coming late to the conversation, so or the broadcast. It's just, you know, what are the different roles and, can, you know, who can influence, especially, you know, TxDOT gets federal and state money, I guess. And then, you know, the city and the county have insight into how those access roads are built. And part three is, this is just an observation. I live up near, Fair Oaks and the Burney area, and I do a lot of volunteer work down on the west side, and I've just noticed that the way things are always designed, especially, you know, where I get off on the west side from the urban loop part there, you know, you know, there's always backups and traffic and stuff, and it just, like, there's no thought or money put into, you know, the hardworking people of the east side, the west side, and, you know, directly south of downtown.
Okay, so Bob, I got to wrap you up here because we haven't had time for Tommy Calvert to respond.
I'll be quick. I thank you for honoring the hardworking people. I was yesterday with a family of the Tufano family, lost their father, six children, lost their father going to work at a hardware store early in the morning. I unfortunately began monitoring the storm at 3 o'clock in the morning, began to get calls about a 29-year-old woman who worked at Fort Sam in the Army, who happened to be a relative of an NBA player. And I had to break the news to the family that they had found their loved one. And I have been in mourning. I have cried and been very upset, as many people have. It's been traumatic for many of us. I had to talk to my small business department right there at the corner because they were traumatized by the waters. And so people are going through some serious thoughts, and we need to pray for these families. So TxDOT, as I said before, does have to be reviewed, because you're correct. I believe Perrin Bidel is a state road, as is Austin Highway is a state road. And obviously you do have the federal highway that's in partnership with TxDOT. And that's why I talked about those butter sticks and whether or not the drainage.
What is a butter stick?
So that is the barricade that you see. And they're about the, you know, they look like a large butter stick.
Okay.
And the drainage of those, I've literally been on 35 and two lanes have been flooded. And so we've had to call TxDOT to say, check those drains. And it gets better after we make those calls. But we need to look at the hazard plans and make sure that they are being followed.
So we have about a minute left. I mean, if we get, it could happen any day with the way things are, another big rain event, are we going to have this all over again? What can we do in the short term to save lives?
Leadership has to check these plans, particularly along major construction areas, and make sure that things are flowing and working. And we have to stage in those areas to be able to save lives. And we've got to make some big investments in infrastructure.
So the San Antonio River Authority has an interactive flood map. You can go online. It will tell you where things are flooding in the right now. People need to have that on their phones, need to have that bookmarked on their computers. If it's raining, you need to check these things in order to make sure you or your loved ones are not going to be put in danger. Tommy Calvert, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. And bearflood.org, you can also find out where
they're flooding. And there is that vigil tonight at 410 Newport 10 in Perrin Bible. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.